The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor May, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. The public open line through till one today, so whatever's on your mind, call, text, email and WhatsApp. Some questions to get through and also some of the texts and emails we didn't get to at the back end of last week. Busy, busy, busy. Does anybody know why the Birmingham and Heathrow flights were cancelled over the weekend? I think it was it Sunday or was it Saturday? Heathrow and Birmingham flights, Loganair just cancelled them, and that was that. And nobody quite knows why. I'm not saying Birmingham is less important, but Heathrow is a big hub, and certainly it's a link through for business people. And it's a much bigger hub than Birmingham is. Lots of intercontinental flights go into Heathrow, and we were sitting there with flights that didn't go. As yet, we haven't had a word from Loganair as to why those. If you know, and you can tell us, I'm assuming it wasn't anything to do with the airport, because they were separate flights, but Birmingham and Heathrow flights over the weekend cancelled. This progress with the new ferry terminal back on the Timwell agenda this week, and I just wonder if it's something that's interesting you. Questions about when Mananan will eventually be able to berth. Now, this is taking absolutely forever. Absolutely forever. The Princess Half-Tide Dock landing stage was due to open, well, June last year. Before then, obviously, COVID got in the way, but this has been just going on forever, hasn't it? So when's Mananan going to be able to berth there? And perhaps more importantly, when will passengers be able to use the new site for which we've now spent upwards of 70-odd million. I mean, it was priced at, what was it, 28 million initially, but 70 million plus. Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas is the one bringing six questions in total relating to the steam packet to Tynwald this week on matters such as the sea services agreement, recent modifications made to Mananan, a report on whether the company will be subject to a Freedom of Information request, recruitment to the board of directors, and progress on that new Liverpool terminal. This is Chris Thomas, MHK.
I do remember back in May 2023, after all the officers from the steam packet and DOI and around the rest of government had agreed it, I was given a press release which said that on the 1st of January 2024, the new terminal in Liverpool will be run by the steam packet to prepare for the first Mananan sailings end of March 2024. That hasn't happened. Why hasn't it happened? I think the last excuse was that the Mananan needed a few modifications. I think they were described as minor modifications, and they were being done an hour each evening or something somewhere in the Isle of Man. So I want to find out more about whether those modifications were successfully done, what they were, and now what's the reason that we're not using the new terminal, because it's so much better. The new terminal's got a patient area. It's got changing places facilities for disabled people. You've got access inside into the vessels. Why aren't we using it? At the moment, it seems to me we're paying rent to Peel Ports for the pierhead facility, and we've got this new facility, purpose-built facility that suits the Mananan, will suit the Manxman. Why aren't we using it?
There he was, Chris Thomas, Douglas Central MHK, or one of them, talking about this new, shiny new sea terminal that's ours, bought and paid for. We're paying the rent on it to Peel now. It's ours, but there we are. Hi, Andy. I was on the flight home from Heathrow I was told there had been a technical issue with the airport due to operate between Heathrow and Birmingham. Loganair had already rebooked me onto a second flight from Heathrow. There are two flights on a Sunday, which landed 2 hours late from my original. So all in all, not bad, really. All the best. Charles in Port Erin. A technical issue. Thank you, Charles. Good to hear from you, and thanks for reporting that. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just want to talk about planning and Section 13 agreements, and I'll just park that up for a minute.
Okay.
And regarding the housing board that we have on the island, and this is reference to when you were talking to the politicians from South Douglas and they're talking about the green fields at Paul Rose there.
Yes.
And their football clubs struggling to get some help to support the community. Now, with all the developments happening in Douglas, or in a city now, in Douglas there, normally if a builder, a normal builder, say it was Quirk Enterprises, was going to build something, and then if you couldn't fulfil a first-time buyer's need, or what we call set-aside, you had to do something else, provide money or something like that. So my question is to people out there more knowledgeable than me, why hasn't it happened with the city? Because of all that development that's happening, and even, does the housing board then have to pay money to one side to the local authority for amenity spaces? And that's the big question.
Interesting, isn't it? Nothing's been said about that, has it?
Nothing at all. It's more than a black hole. It's a deep black hole. But we have this housing board that can't be FOI'd. Other things can't be FOI'd. But who's in charge of them? Who's funding the money? It's the taxpayer. Somebody needs to be accountable there. And somebody in the council, or the councillors now, need to ask a few questions, I think. I'm not being cheeky towards them, but I would be doing the same. Is what sort of money has been put aside that they've had Section 13 agreements where builders couldn't provide them? Now, I'll give you a prime example of that one. It was down near Tesco's on the Quayside. Dandara couldn't provide first-time buyers accommodation because there would be an imbalance. So they built a load of houses up at by B&Q there and then sold them as first-time buyers. So the principle's been set long ago. And I just wonder how much money is in the kitty in control of government that should be handing back to the councils or commissioners for them to do something to help this football club out in Paul Rose.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I know you're a football fan and you help with football clubs. What do you feel? Do you think they've been left in the lurch in Paul Rose?
I feel ashamed. My father played for Paul Rose. I never as a kid played for Paul Rose, but I can tell you for a fact, me and my brother spent our youth down there collecting the balls from the river. Because in them days, and that's quite some time ago now, leather balls, you probably only had two, or maybe three if you were lucky. And me and my brother, who were really young, used to go down to near the power station end and with a big net and try and catch the ball. Otherwise, the second half didn't go on.
I've got a message here that came in actually while the two MHKs were on, but we didn't get time to get to. And again, this is the other side of it, and it's somebody who just said, "Look, why should Douglas Borough Council be using taxpayers' money, ratepayers' money, to basically because of somebody else's hobby?"
I would dispute that individual there. I can speak from experience in Onchan and where I used to live when I was a kid in Williston there. The community is round green areas where kids can play. We introduce all sorts of sport. David Cretney brought on the NSC, which was a big target in them days. And can you just imagine now, FC Isle of Man wouldn't be existing now if we didn't look to the future. And Tony Brown had the initiative years ago to say to the council in them days, if you're not going to do it, the Isle of Man government's going to do it. And I supported them with others at the time. And look what they've got there now. We need places, and I'm whittering on a little bit, but we need places for kids to exercise, have fun. They're coming to their summer holidays shortly. Not everybody can afford to come away, go away. Or we need to bring people to come and experience what the Isle of Man is. We used to have the football festivals, the hockey festivals, all sorts of running festivals. We're coming up to the TT. When the Isle of Man's known for sport and something different, but do you think we're doing anything different at the minute?
Well, as you said, I mean, the fact you mentioned the NSC and the bowl and everything there, thank the Lord we spent the money when we had the money to build the bowl and the NSC.
That's right, and there we are now. I'm almost sure, and it'll be good for somebody, instead of these questions that have gone to Timald, you know, what sort of resources or money is still available for government to use and for local authorities who can spend their money over 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, I think is the target on it. So them wads of money are very small if you pan it over a few years. Can you imagine if we didn't build the power station, the reservoir and all those other bits years ago, where would we be now be? We'd be stuck, wouldn't we?
Cool, you bet. All that infrastructure that was built, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah, yeah, and we're not looking to the next future, are we? We're not even looking for artificial intelligence, but maybe we could do that the next election for the politicians.
Okay, all right, thanks, David.
See you, boy.
Good to hear from you. There's a problem in Ballasalla, by the way. Those dreadful temporary lights have gone in today on the main road at the Balthane roundabout. Manx utilities say they're in place for urgent electrical repairs. Going to be there for 3 days. So just be aware of that around the Balthane roundabout. Thanks to everybody telling me about the Heathrow flight. Very useful. I appreciate that. Thanks for that. I think we've been sold a pup with the new ferry terminal. 3 times the cost, not finished yet, no signage, no signposting to the motorway as promised by Liverpool Council. The money should have been spent on Heysham and a hotel built there. What would you call it? Heysham Sea, perhaps. So travellers can have a base when the boats don't sail. And when the Eden project opens in Morecambe, it'll be a destination for all and a great place to advertise the Isle of Man as a beautiful nature, natural countryside. Why don't the steam packet use the Ben for regular sailings from Belfast and Dublin and maybe even other ports? We would put those questions to the steam packet at the moment. They are more than welcome to come on Man in Line. It's obviously just spent her money repainting the Ben McCree. She looks very nice. Don't know whether there was some new carpet down inside or anything else down inside, but the Ben was off this morning. So if she gets sold, whoever gets her is going to have to be repainting her. I was on the EasyJet Manchester flight on Saturday, delayed 4 hours. When we boarded, the captain explained that Ronald's Way isn't equipped for those jet aircraft when there's heavy fog, as there's no compatibility with the aircraft. Is that right? To be honest, I'd given up listening at that point, but surely the airport requires updating if it seeks to be an important and essential transport facility for the Isle of Man. And I believe the captain over airport management, by the way, says text 425. Andy says, Texter 775, looks like we're so tied up and perhaps too tightly with Appeal Group who've got the island over a barrel. They've got fingers in all pies. Too much control, coincidental or not. Let's see what happens. Well, we can't blame Peel. Peel are it's coincidental, Mr. Whittaker happens to live here. But can you imagine? Peel's a business, and it's been run as a business for many, many years. They built the Trafford Centre. I think they owned a large part of the Manchester Ship Canal. They're a business, so business is always going to happen. We live in a free enterprise world. So really, it's down to us to foresee what we need. The Peel Group owns Heysham Port. It owns the legacy of the Mersey Docks and Harbour Board and the other side on the Wirral. So they own all that. So what do we do for the future? What on earth is going to happen? If the boat doesn't sail, where are we going to be left with this? I mean, there's us, for one thing. You know, there's us and our lives and the freight and the people who come to the Isle of Man. But also business. What does it say if we don't sail? If we're not reliable? The Manx public needs to realise what an asset Manx Care has in Teresa Cope. Sometimes they don't have a clue what they have until they lose it, says Southern Andy. Teresa Cope was on Perspective yesterday with Phil Gorm. talking about, well, she was, Theresa Coke was, as always, very measured in her approach and saying that she'd received negative feedback. Bluntly, she got a right slagging off. She has been criticised from pillar to post and obviously has no right of reply. And certainly on Facebook, there was a lot of vilification of Theresa Cope last year. You may remember, Theresa was on Man in Line, always happy to come on Man in Line to chat about what Manx Care was doing. But many keyboard warriors absolutely went for Theresa for the jugular, for the neck. In fact, one of them suggested that Theresa Cope should have her head cut off. That was on a public forum. Theresa Cope's children saw that post. What do you think that does? A, I mean, the person who does it obviously couldn't care less, doesn't demand that much out of life, because that's the only impact they can make on the world, is suggest that. But what? First of all, it doesn't put Manx Care any further down the line, doesn't get any more nurses, doesn't get any more cataract operations or hips done. It's not very nice, is it? So, where do we move forward? I mean, do you think personal insults actually help? Does it get us any further down the line? And in the end, will that person who made that insult in 5 years, 10 years' time look back on it and think, that was a great idea, wasn't it? It's Julian now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Good, thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, right. Yeah, a bit nippy out there today, isn't it?
It's lovely, isn't it? Did you spot those hailstones this morning?
Yeah, well, it's what? It's 7 degrees Celsius, I think, at the moment, or 44 Fahrenheit for our friends over at the pond. So a bit nippy considering TT's on its way, isn't it?
It's not that far away. 5 weeks on Friday, they'll be practising at Billown.
I know. Unbelievable. I've actually rung up about the weather. Just like to comment on a Manx Radio headline from April 2nd, which was titled, Above Average Rainfall Continues in March. They measured the rainfall at just about 117 millimetres, or just over four and a half inches of rain for March. And I'd just like to quote from the Alaman Times of April 5th, 1947. And the quote is, more rain fell in the Isle of Man last month than has ever before been recorded for March. The Douglas Meteorological Office reports that 7.84 inches, or almost 200 millimetres of rain, has fallen, with 22 out of 31 days with rainfall. So that works out at 70% more rain than we had last month. If you want to think about total quantities of rain, the Peel City Guardian of January 23rd, 1904, the Speaker of the House of Keys at the time, Mr. A.W. Moore, reported that almost 59 inches, or almost 1,500 millimetres of rain, had fallen on the island in 1877. Now, that's an average of 5 inches of rain, or 124 millimetres, every month for 12 months. And if you go back a bit further, he also stated that in 1872, 63 inches of rain, or 1,600 millimetres of rain. That's 5.25 inches, or 133 millimetres every month for a year, which is 14% more than we've just had in March just gone.
So what do you deduce from all this? What's your conclusion?
I'm wondering, actually, if the IPCC, you see, has been telling us for years and years about global boiling, global warming, drought. And I'm wondering if the farmers, I wonder if their plans have been sort of constructed around these dire warnings of wildfires and desertification and everything else. It makes you wonder, you know, if you're told one thing, if you're told it's a beautiful day today and you go out and it pours with rain, you're unlikely to bring your umbrella with you, aren't you?
It's undoubted, really, that the climate issue has been politicised. So it's in politics right across the world now. And certain countries take a bigger notice of it than other countries. But on the Isle of Man, I mean, have we made that big a thing of it on the Isle of Man, Julian?
I don't know. I'm just going along with these headlines that seem to keep appearing. And then you had the perspective a little while ago, talking about how, you know, there's increasing sea levels, except, of course, if you go on the Liverpool Admiralty website, I can't see any evidence of that. And you can still go on holidays to the Maldives and walk out to the Tower of Refuge and you know, all this type of thing. You know, the things that are talked about are always where you're not around. I noticed, actually, there was a news article recently of two pensioners who got £85,000 compensation because their Arctic cruise didn't go because there was too much ice in the Arctic and too cold. So the cruise turned around and went back, which is interesting, considering what we're told. But how many people can go to the Arctic now? Especially considering that we no longer fly. Let's suppose you want to fly to Beijing now. In general, you have to fly the southern route now because of the war with Ukraine and Russia. There are no aircraft flying over the usual shorter route to the Far East. So I think I understand that there's over £2,000 of fuel used on each leg now. Say British Airways, if you fly Heathrow-Beijing, you've got at least an extra hour and thousands of pounds worth of extra fuel. Will you multiply that out across all the aircraft that need to go to Vietnam or Cambodia or wherever on that area? I mean, that's not very green, is it?
It's very interesting that I think it was the back end of March it was announced with great fanfare in the travel industry that aviation is back to its pre-COVID level.
Yeah. But, you know, there's talk about stopping the war. I mean, you know, if we're so worried about all these emissions, how about every single European aircraft that now won't fly through Russian airspace is having to do thousands of miles extra to get to the same destination? I mean, if our priority is all about this and nothing else and, you know, getting rid of cars and boilers and all the rest of it, why are we flying several hundred tons of aircraft, thousands of them every day, further than they need to? Perhaps the, you know, we need to think about things like that.
Interesting point. But I mean, in the middle of all this is politics. It's found its way within politics now, and it will be a long time leaving the political world, Julian. I can hazard a guess to that.
Possibly, but you know, this crack. You know, the electric vehicle sales are in the floor. ESG is now being called a dirty word on Wall Street. I mean, there seems to be signs that people are not buying into this. I mean, take a look outside. I mean, it's not exactly global boiling today, is it?
No, and luckily we don't have an ultra-low emission zone anywhere on the Isle of Man.
Yeah, did you see about, there was a ULEZ protest in London on Saturday.
Yeah, I did.
The police got pretty nasty with them for some reason. I don't know why, because they don't seem to be doing anything.
All right. Thanks, Julian.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. A message in from Colin, who just said, can I thank the organisers of the Beer and Cider Festival? Oh, it's not through a thick head, is it, Colin? Did you enjoy it last week? It was on, I think it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So well done. If you went to the 11th Beer and Cider Festival, I think it was, CAMRA, the Campaign for Real Ale branch on the Isle of Man, put that together. And I think there were somewhere over, was it 115 real ales and ciders and perries. You don't get many perries nowadays, do you? Anyway, well done to those. And Howard's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just being a person with a suspicious mind, listened to some of the things you were mentioning earlier on about the steam packet,
yeah,
the Liverpool landing stage, the port of Heysham. Now, a little while ago on your news, it was a report supposedly coming from the boardroom of the steam packet that one of the things they want to do is for the green agenda is to reduce the number of sailings. Now, my suspicious mind thinks, and I'm probably wrong and people will say so, there's a new ferry company moving into Heysham. And this would leave or require extra room. So if they retain the Arrow, get rid of the Ben, and eventually, and it was on your news here, whether it's inadvertently or not, the Manxman going to Liverpool. Now, is there something going on in the boardroom and with the Isle of Man government the DOI, for the transfer of the ship, the Maxman, to Liverpool on a single sailing per day. The Arrow going into Hesham, because she's a smaller vessel, and she'd be pure freight, and of course the Ben will disappear. So they will be restricted in Liverpool because of the rulings that there'd be no night sailings, etc. So we'd be down to one sailing a day. Now, people are going to say, oh, he's talking rubbish again. But these things do happen. And we don't know what's going on in the board, in the boardroom of the steam packet. We don't know what's going on within the DOI. And I think the Manxman has been, I'll stand corrected on this, to Liverpool to see if she can berth there.
Yeah, she did some trials, I think, a while back.
Yeah. Well, as I say, you don't know what's going on in discussions within the boardroom, and they will want to reduce the sailings to one a day for passengers and cars, which they could be accommodated quite easily in Liverpool, and then just sailing one sailing a day, because that's all the Arrow is capable of in a way, into Hesham to carry the freight. And that way, then, this is why they're probably fighting and wrangling over what's going to happen to the Liverpool London stage, the new building, etc., because nobody can make their mind up what they're going to use or do. Because we know in 2 or 3 years' time, the fast craft is going to be replaced, again, at probably at the government expense or the taxpayers' expense until it's paid off. So be an interesting foray into what would be what the train of thought is between the steam packet, the Liverpool ports, Peel Holdings, and the Isle of Man government.
Well, there's obviously a sea services agreement, and we at the moment we have two sailings per day to Hesham, and then obviously there's stuff that goes on to Liverpool. But I mean, surely if the steam packet were to reduce passenger sailings to England, there would be an outcry, wouldn't there?
There would be, yes. And this is what makes me think that it's not been suggested whether it having a train of thought running through the boardroom, because we have a whole new school of thought in there now. These are not the steam packet directors, etc. These are people who have been planted in there. Ugland and Brian Thompson and all them. Brian Thompson was many years with the Marine Commission here. So we don't know what the train of thought is behind there, but if that were to happen, as you rightly say, there would be an outcry, because we would then be restricted to one ship a day. And that's how it used to be, although they ran with two boats, one leaving Douglas, one leaving Liverpool. Not very cost effective. But this is what they're down, and they're putting it on the back of being a green and much more environmentally friendly just to have one ship running once a day.
Well, I wonder. Okay.
So it's one of those things that needs to keep an eye on. And as I say, the government and all these people is involved with that particular operation are keeping their powder dry and very close to their chest.
Okay, thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, so 25 to 1 on Manx Radio. Well, there is, Howard did mention, a new ferry company into Hesham. I think Stena have always done a bit from Hesham, but they've actually got two new hybrid ferries fueled by methanol. Methanol. Two new hybrid ferries that are going to sail from Hesham to Belfast. There at the moment, they're being built for Stena Line's Hesham to Belfast group. So obviously that's at the moment the sea truck goes from there, and obviously the steam packet does. We don't know. And obviously there may be commercial confidentialities, but remember, it is our company. That much was made at the last election of transparency, but at the moment we just don't know what's happening with the... We don't even know whether the Liverpool landing stage is even going to be open for TT, something that Chris Thomas was inquiring about.
I really hope so. And it should have been... Steam Packet should have taken it on the 1st of January 2024, as far as I'm concerned. If not, we've spent a hell of a lot about more than 80 million because the main contract has what's called preliminaries in it that are chargeable while the contract's going on. And I'm convinced that that must have finished in October time. And then when the Minister of Infrastructure last listed the stuff that was still needed, it was fenders and it was small things like that. It was getting things ready, training. So there must be some sort of dispute between the steam packet and the government, and that's ridiculous. The steam packet is 100% owned company of Treasury. Heads need to be knocked together, and we need to be using our good facility unless there's a really good reason why we're not using it.
There he was, Chris Thomas, Thomas MHK. He'll be asking questions tomorrow. I think he's got a fistful of questions to answer, six questions to ask in Tynwald tomorrow. Andy, Theresa Cope deserves a medal for what she's done so far. She doesn't deserve abuse. How she maintains her caring, compassionate nature under such shocking abuse is amazing. The problems she's inherited in our health service were exorbitant, and she's been working diligently to eventually provide us with a service for the community we'll all be thankful for and proud of. I've had first-hand experience. This is Pauline, who said, I've had first-hand experience of being on a waiting list for far too long. When Theresa helped out our local overworked staff here to address those waiting lists by seeking help from Celtic Friends and Neighbours, the Synaptic teams, yes, they're very well received. That was a brilliant move. My experience, as well as others I've spoken to, was excellent. So thank you, Theresa, for all you're doing, and ignore the social media trolls. There are far many more people here that admire and appreciate what you've done than those few sad individuals hiding behind keyboards on social media, says Pauline.
Hi everybody, it's Dan Snow here, big fan of Manx Radio. Congratulations on your 60th birthday. I'll be listening.
Well, thank you, Dan. How will the Liverpool terminal be for Manx boats affected by? Will it be affected by the new cruise liner terminals? Well, they've shifted us down the road where we used to go. Well, we still do now. The sea terminal, the pierhead just by the Liver building, by the Three Graces. We've been pushed out of the way. We're down the road near the Everton ground. I know, by the Everton ground. It would be interesting to check the boats on the Liverpool terminal costs. I just can't see where all the money's gone. It's a small job to find out. I would say that the lack of sailings is having a major impact on the post. We're receiving post that is taking 3 weeks to be delivered. What's the obsession with going to Liverpool? Personally, I prefer sailing to Heysham. It's much more straightforward to get on the motorway from there. Well, after that brand new bowling highway that they've got from Lancaster out to the M6, we also have an air service to Liverpool, putting all our eggs in one basket. Never a good idea, says Ian. And we should keep options open to sail to, not concentrating everything on Liverpool, which incidentally has cost us an excessive amount already with that new dock.
Discover Bathline, the new name in bathrooms at Haldane Fisher. Visit their brand new bathroom and tile showroom in Douglas for a stunning range of bathroom styles and designs. Or get inspired online at bathline-bathrooms.im. Whether traditional or contemporary, Bathline's dedicated in-house bathroom designers will bring your dream bathroom to life. Bathline at Haldane Fisher. Designed for living.
Hey, June. I wanted to tell you about the Green Living Grant. Well, new Spectrum windows and doors are so energy efficient, they qualify for the Green Living Grant, with funding available for up to 50% of the cost. I saved £5,725, but the application deadline closes at the end of June.
Don't delay. Contact Spectrum Windows today on 817777. T's and C's apply.
At EVF service stations, you can fuel yourself as well as your vehicle. Hot and cold food to go, chilled drinks, and even lottery tickets too. Great choice and value to make life more convenient. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Vanin Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
Customer satisfaction and quality have been a priority at Milcreasts for over 60 years. We're proud to represent the great car manufacturers. Jaguar, Land Rover, Vauxhall, Mitsubishi, Subaru and Isuzu, and have taken time to build up the trust and respect of both car makers and drivers.
100% independent and Manx-owned for new and approved used cars, leasing, servicing, parts and superb customer service. Milcreasts. It's what's behind us that keeps us in front.
On agenda last week, Tynwald Youth Select Committee members Zara Molnova, Aidan Clark and Alex Cowley told us about the work of their committee. This week, these sixth form students talk about their political aspirations and run rings round me in a discussion about the perils and opportunities presented by artificial intelligence. That's agenda this evening at 6pm on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. As someone whose political thinking inhabits the margins of the Tynwald Comyn bubble, I found it encouraging to be challenged by their fresh ideas and insightful comment. Well worth a listen as you're getting your tea later.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
It's 18 minutes before one. The EasyJet captain's correct, says Texter 350. The ILS, the instrument landing system, requires 1,000 metres, a kilometre visibility when reaching the decision altitude. The normal system only needs 550 metres. If they upgrade to a Category 2, then most diversions wouldn't happen, says that. Well, how much more is that going to cost us, I wonder? Oh, Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy? How's your weekend?
Not bad, actually. Okay.
Good, good, good. And I'm just listening to Julian's statistics there and the old press reports. And it's quite right, isn't it? I mean, they go now on statistics of historical data. But it goes back way, way further than that. So, you know, the scaremongering is quite apparent. Yes, there's climate change. There's no doubt that there's climate change. The question is does that belong to us, or is that just a natural phenomenon that we go through historical changes?
But it's part of politics, isn't it? Now it's part of politics around the world.
And part of money, follow the money trail, because everything is revolving around this. And that brings me on to the subject there. Kind of what Howard was saying, you know, is there an alternative reason here with the steam packet? And just going back to the report a few weeks ago, how much did it cost, Andy, for this new cruise terminal that's going to get built at Liverpool? He said there was an investment of, was it 20 million for a new terminal and landing stage?
I think that was, yes. It was a lot less than ours, put it that way.
It was a lot less than ours. And that's post-COVID prices. So what's gone wrong there with our taxpayers' money of 90 million when a company can come in and spend 20 to put to dock ships three, four times the size of the Manxman? So that's a little bit out of kilter. And of course, the restrictions. We've spent into 95 million and we're restricted of what we can use it, when we can use it. So I think the whole thing from start to finish with the amount of money that government has actually spent of our money on the steam packet is way out of line. And I agree with your sentiments of where we would have been in COVID if we hadn't bought it. But I don't think that was the issue about buying it. I think the issue was how much money it was worth to start with, and how much money has been spent by government on our behalf in actually purchasing it. I think that was the problem.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the government would have known that anybody who buys the steam packet has got a pipe of money that's coming into them. It's a cash cow.
Well, it is, but I mean, the principle of business there to start with was how much it was worth. I mean, the only thing that the steam packet was worth really was the user agreements. Nothing more than that, which, you know, technically belongs to the Isle of Man. But going on to what Howard was saying there, and I think maybe the Isle of Man government is or someone's going to use this as a carbon credit initiative, bringing down the amount of sailings to get to grasp back some carbon credit somewhere, because this seems to be the big buzzword at the moment until people wake up and see how much money's getting made out of it. And that drops me on to as well the press statement last week from the I don't know whether it was Chris Thomas that put that through, and I just listened into the loan situation for the Westmorland Road development, which has now gone over budget by the MDC. And there's a loan, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Barclays or Lloyds, and it was a green loan. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, it is. It's I think it's Lloyds.
Yeah, Lloyds, and it's a green loan. So that puts in place why this development is being pushed through without parking, etc. Because if you look at the green loan credentials, you have to follow certain credentials to get that green loan. So again, this is being controlled by the banks and not necessarily for what we actually need as an island. So to get that loan, they had to say, well, there's going to be no parking, there's going to be this, there's going to be umpteen bike racks. So again, you know, I'm going back to when I was talking about, we were talking about wind turbines a while ago, and I had a call from someone within the Manx Utilities, and they said, the thing that is going to bankrupt this island will be following the green agenda. And that's from people on the ground floor who've been in the Manx Utilities and Manx Electricity Board for many years. So we can only go by people who have the knowledge of what's going on. And that's words to think about, you know.
You said, though, that there's money in the green agenda. So how come we can't make any money out of the green agenda?
I don't say there's money in the green agenda for the people that are running it. We're the ones that are suffering. Everyone, you know, just here in the UK, anyone that's on the ground floor is going to pay for this and suffer. The elite are going to earn out of the green agenda, and we only have to do is look at Al Gore's bank account and see how much he's made out of it in recent years, and John Kerry. So you know, people criticised Trump for all sorts of things, but at least the man was a multimillionaire before he became a politician, and not a multimillionaire after he finished.
All right, okay, good to hear from you. Thanks, Juan.
Take care, Andy.
Here's a message from WhatsApp at 805. You in the Isle of Man are getting a bargain regarding the terminal in Liverpool. We're in the east of England, and we've got a £145 million bridge. Whereabouts is that? I think it's going to be a disaster, says Texter 717. If the steam packet gets rid of the Ben, they say the Manxman has issues with engines and what have you. The Ben can run as a backup, as the Arrow can only take freight and obviously no passengers. Well, no passengers in comfort anyway. Manxman's off at the moment. I think they're checking their marine evacuation system. Those are those chutes, the big chutes that go down. It's a long way to go down, though, isn't it? It baffles me when visiting the Northern Amenity site, you now have to show ID, yet anyone can come into the Isle of Man. Maybe the bosses of the NCAS should go and work in immigration, says Aurora. Obviously now, since Bride have stopped putting in their £65,000, times is getting tough at Balladil. Oh, it's in Lowestoft, is it? Lowestoft, in £145 million bridge for Lowestoft in Suffolk. Thanks for that. It's Monday, and you know what Monday means? Monday and Friday mean the same thing. It means that we finish Man in Line with looking back on our 60-year heritage on Manx Radio. We're going back into the archives, and today I've got to tell you, get a sandwich ready for this one. John Kenyuk is going to be on. John Kenyuk talking to members of the Cronky, the Cronkavody Ploughing Match Committee, talking about their memories of growing up in Cronky. John Kenyuk and the Cronkavody Ploughing Match Committee talking after Man in Line finishes today. I've listened to it three times already. It's an absolute belter. A week this coming Thursday, Man in Line is going to be out and about with the students of Castle Russian High School. We'll be outside broadcasting from Castletown for that. And you may have heard this already, but I think it bears repetition. Next week, the Chief Minister's going on tour with members of COMIN. It's his nationwide tour on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon, MHK, and members of COMIN will be answering questions at roadshows. It's basically, we're a listening roadshow. You can attend any of the roadshows absolutely free of charge. You can go to, I think it's Eventbrite if you want to book a ticket, but you don't need to. You can simply show up. Free tea and coffee on Monday, a week today, Castle Russian High School. Tuesday, QE2 High School, Wednesday, Ballacameen High School, and Thursday, Ramsey Grammar School. That's the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. The Chief Minister, they start, doors open up 5:30. You'll meet ministers. There's a, after they have a chat and whatever, there's a 45-minute question and answer session, and we'll wrap up at 8 o'clock at the latest. All the venues are accessible. Tons of parking at all the schools, and more information can be found at, I think it's, they've got a website, Roadshow, if you go to gov.im. So that's next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Please don't say I didn't tell you, because it's important. If you get the chance and you want to talk to the Chief Minister and those ministers, you can next week. We've been talking about the steam packets, and lots of comment has come out exactly, you know, what is happening and what do we do. Well, here is the boss of the steam packet, Brian Thompson. He was at a recent steam packet regulation committee meeting, and this is what Brian Thompson had to say.
I think certainly in terms of replacing the Manarin, I think that's something we would need to look at. I think there's always calls for a all year round service to Liverpool as well, and of course we'll, fingers crossed, get the new terminal coming online soon in Liverpool, and it would be good to use that all year round. So I would say yes, I think perhaps a high speed catamaran is perhaps not the best choice going forward.
I think a year round service to Liverpool would be very popular with the public, but how would that impact freight?
It wouldn't impact freight, because the new terminal hasn't been designed to handle freight.
Okay, so
freight would always come through Heysham.
And how? So what are you proposing there, a year-round service to both?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Brian Thompson. That was Ann Corlett, MHK. Remember, a year-round service to Liverpool is nothing new. The Lady of Man used to do that. So that's nothing new. What will be so bad about one sailing a day, says Texter 653, into the new terminal? Surely it's better to have one sailing full than two half-empty. May help to have cheaper fares as well. The Liverpool Cruise Terminal is only for passengers. That ours, that is. Steam Packet Terminal has to have a link span, parkways and drive. Massive difference, says Dewham. People who resort to personal insults usually are cowards hiding behind their keyboards. This is the Theresa Cope matter. The people who don't have the intelligence to formulate a coherent opinion, says Sue. They're not happy with the current system. Maybe they should look for suggestions to improve it. They obviously aren't bright enough, so they just sling insults instead. And 328 says, well, if Theresa responded to serious concerns, the public would trust her. Manx Care simply don't. Ian said, I've said it many times. Well, say it again, Ian. Social media is the worst invention of our lifetime. It's easy to say don't use it, but it's dangerous. I never use it, never will. The problem is people live their lives on the screen instead, leaving many of us in limbo because we're going to be left behind, unable to do normal things as we could. I love Theresa. She should be running the country, says Paul. That's it. Thanks for getting in touch. Good to have you along. Back with an open line tomorrow. Thanks to Ben Hartley on the phones today.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation's station. This is Manx Radio.
The late John Kenyuck was a remarkable raconteur. His Manx accent was soaked in character, and even more so when he was talking to Manx folk. Like here, with the committee of the Cronky, the Cronkavoddy ploughing match.
Now, one of the other committee members is Dennis Quirk. Dennis, you were born at Cronkavoddy too. Where were you born at Cronky?
I was born in Cronknafeshig, out by Little London. There was no electric, no water when I was out there, but I would go out again tomorrow, I think.
Would you really?
I think I'd probably be on my own, but it was the water that we got in the wintertime came down a spout, and the cows used to drink out of the same trough. And in the summertime, the spout went dry, and we used to get it down the road, a couple of hundred yards down the road,
right,
down in a gutter.
At the Crot.
At the Crot.
And bus then to St John's School.
Bus to St John's School. I remember one day going to go to school, and I didn't feel like going this day. So I lay in the hedge and watched the bus go. But I seen two people getting off the bus. and they walked up the hill past me. I jumped over the hedge. I didn't want them to see me. So I jumped over the hedge, and they walked up past two men. Well, I went down, always went down to the crossroads to have a look, to make sure somebody seen me at the bus, but the bus was gone. So I went home, and when I got home, the two men were working at home, doing, doing a roof on the cow house. And when they came in at lunchtime, they said, "Why aren't you at school today? Oh, you missed the bus." We never seen him on the road.
Right.
That's true, that.
I'm sure it is. Mona Kane is sitting alongside me here as well. You were at Little London, you're Jim's sister, of course. And you remember school days and coming from Little London to the bus?
I certainly do.
What about bad weather? Did you walk in some terrible weather from Little London to the crossroads?
Well, we used to get some wettings, but you just had to get on with it. But then the neighbours were nice too. They were...
Yeah, well, the Quirks, of course.
The Quirks, and it was like one big family, really.
I've heard you say this before. Yes. That must have been a lovely aspect of life out there then.
Yes.
That the two families were very good neighbours.
Yeah, so we weren't up at there, they were down at us. And it was just one big happy family.
Mm. Did you help each other on the respective farms?
Yes, you always helped each other.
Right.
And even the wives, like in the summertime, it was very hot weather and the butter wouldn't, you know, they couldn't get the butter to set. They'd be helping each other to do that. And
really?
If any of them wasn't well, the other would just automatically take over and help.
Part of Ireland life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.